Welcome to a message from Oasis Church. For more information about Oasis Church and how you can get connected, please visit myoasischurch.com. Here's Pastor Mark Pearl. Enjoy the message.
I want to go to Psalm 119 this morning. And real long title, don't have to write it all down. But kind of wanted to, you know, put into you what we're going to do today. And then we're going to pray for people who need healing this morning. So if you need healing, begin setting your faith that this is your day. Amen. Now, Psalm 119, I want to talk to you about this. If I was to title it, I would call it, Let God's Word Be Final Authority in Your Life. Amen. Now, you know, final authority means that it has the last say-so. Remember, I don't know what kind of home you grew up in, but I grew up in a home where Dad was final authority. And I didn't have a wimpy dad. And, you know, he didn't make suggestions. He really didn't give you time out. He'd give you a knockout. I don't mean he was abusive. Because he wasn't, but you knew he didn't really have to spank us very much because we knew that he would. And so that kind of kept things curbed a little bit. But anyway, God's Word, listen to this. Now, as Christians, listen to this. This is talking about you and I. As Christians, we have to settle it in our hearts that God's Word is true and is final authority on everything in life. We have to do that if we're going to walk in the fullness of His blessings. Right. I'm going to say that again. As Christians, we have to settle it in our hearts that God's Word is true and is final authority on everything in life. If we're going to walk in the fullness of His blessings. Now, that's really vital because if you don't settle that, and I did that a long time ago, because I was taught about this, that whatever God's Word says, everything else is wrong. Amen. There are people who say they don't believe the Bible because they believe science more than the Bible. But if God said in the beginning, God created the heavens and the earth, that settles it for me. I'm done talking about it. You know what I mean? I'm done arguing with you about it because you can go believe what you want to believe, but I'm going to believe what God said. He said He did it. He didn't say, you know, we came out of the goo, went to the zoo, then became you. Someone said one time, my ancestors may have hung by the neck, but they did not hang by the tail. Well, I agree with that. So I don't care what the world says or what they say or what they think they found or what they think they know. True science lines up with the Bible. And so if it doesn't line up with the Bible, I'm taking the Bible. Amen. And so I just have approached life that way. Maybe you call that simplistic, but I'll tell you what it's done. It's brought a really blessed life to me. Just take God at His Word. And so we want to talk about that this morning, about how His Word is final authority. And you got to get that as Christians. His Word is final authority. Look, culture changes, but the Word doesn't change. You understand that? What was right 2,000 years ago is right today. What was wrong 2,000 years ago is wrong today. If God called something an abomination in His book, it still is. Yes. Amen? So He doesn't change. And so if God says, you know, avoid this, leave this alone, you best do it. Because it's not that God, you know, is going to whack you for disobeying Him, but He knows what is best for you. Amen. You know, you got to walk the middle of this. Phyllis and I have seen this over the years, people that get too loose and I don't know if this is a good way to say it, but people get too tight. They don't walk the middle line. They people that just think everything is okay, and then you get people that over here, they're condemned all the time, and they don't walk that middle line and realize we're serving a good God. Praise God. Amen. He loves us, and if we love Him, we want to do His word. We want to. You know, nobody had to tell me to quit doing certain things. I just knew it wasn't God's will for my life. And, you know, if I find something's not God's will, then I want to get that out of my life. Right. Amen. Amen. All right. And the moment that God tells me Oreos aren't His will for my life, I'll get rid of them. Till then, I just I keep them in control. Now, look at this Psalm 119. Are y'all ready for this morning? It may be just like a little talk instead of preaching this morning, but we need to let God's word be final authority in our life. It is final authority. But before we read, because you're going to face things sometimes in life that make the word of God, maybe make the word of God look like it's not true. But the word's, you got to settle it, the word's always true. Yes. Yes. Amen. And so you have to settle that because, just because we believe God doesn't exempt us from trials, temptations, attacks. Why is it so quiet? Because there's nothing to shout about yet, right? Okay. But it's coming. Amen. But you know what I'm saying, because people sometimes, and I've seen this over the years, because we hammer, and I have over the years hammered on faith a little bit more than some do, and people say, well, yeah, but you people preach faith, you still have troubles. Is that right? We still live in a curse-filled world. I don't know if you know this or not, and we're not exempt, and like the devil doesn't just look at us and say, they believe in faith, don't bother them. Right? I haven't found that to be so. It doesn't put you in this utopia, this little bubble where the devil leaves you alone. If the devil rocked Jesus' disciples, I'm sure he's still rocking them today. Right. Amen. Remember, Jesus said to Peter, Satan's come to sift you as wheat. He's asked for you. But I prayed for you that your faith fail not. But in the midst of all this stuff and all this junk, we have to decide God's word is final authority. All right, now, let's go here to Psalm 119. Let's read our scripture now. Psalm 119, verse 89, it says this. It says, forever, O Lord, your word is settled in heaven. Your faithfulness is unto all generations. Well, how many of you are an all generation? Well, His faithfulness to His word is unto you, right? Amen. So unto all generations, your faithfulness unto all generations. But I want you to notice, I wanted to read verse 90 because you need to know that God is faithful to His word. And here's the thing about God is one of the requirements about His promises is they have to be believed. You know, the Bible says that Hebrews even tells us that the children of Israel, the gospel was preached unto them as well as unto us, but didn't profit them because of their unbelief. Now, we have a doctrine in the church, it's a wrong doctrine. There's parts of it that might be right, but just because parts of it are right doesn't mean it's all right. And one other thing is about how God is sovereign and He's controlling everything. Well, have you know God is not controlling everything because His will isn't being done in everything. That's why He said, pray, your kingdom come, your will be done. If His will is automatically done, we wouldn't need to pray for His will to be done. His will is that every man, you can read it in 2 Timothy, be saved and come to the knowledge of the truth. Is everybody saved? Is everybody going to be saved? Is that the will of God that people die lost? No, but they do, don't they? You see, is God's will healing? Does everybody receive healing? No. That doesn't do away with the will of God on the subject. Right? Have you ever failed to receive healing? But they still didn't do away with the will of God. It just meant some way or another, we failed to receive. I don't quit preaching on healing because people die, you know, that you prayed for. Any more than I do quit witnessing to people because some people don't accept it and die and go to hell. That's between them and God. All I'm told to do is preach the word and let God do the signs following. Amen? So this idea that everything that happens is the will of God, well, you know, one day that's going to come to pass. You know, Jesus is going to, the Bible says, rule this earth in the millennium with a rod of iron. So you don't go to church in those days, he'll beat you. Little humor. But yet, the same thing, even at the end of that, there's going to be rebellion, the Bible says. There's going to be a final rebellion. But Jesus is not controlling our lives. He said, I stand at the door and knock. We have to let him in. We have to let him control. We have to let him do things in our life. Amen? We had a guy preach, well, he was back in 1988 or 89. He came to preach, evangelist. And he preached a message, let God heal you. You got to let God do things. He may want to, but you got to let him do it. Amen? Now, all right, so forever, O Lord, your word is settled in heaven. So how many know the word settled in heaven? We got to get it settled on earth. And you know, listen now. Like I said, this just may be a talk this morning, but it's going to be a good talk. Okay? We're going to have a little talk with Jesus. Amen? We're going to talk and converse with him. Let him teach us this morning. How many know there are absolutes regardless of what society says? You know, we hear this today. You got your truth, I got my truth. You know, there's only one truth. What's your truth about it? It doesn't matter what my truth about it is or anybody else's truth about it. It's what is. Jesus said, God's word is truth. That's the truth. The word is truth. And so we have this, you know, well, that's my truth and I believe this and I have a right. You know, God, you may have a moral right. You may have a right to do that, but you got it. God will give you a right to be wrong. Amen. And so, you know, guys can hear, I'm talking about men. How many know us men can hear and not hear? Any women know that's the truth? Come on, how many women say amen to that? We hear but not hear. You know, Christians can be that way, hear and not hear. You know, a guy asked his wife one time, he said, what do you want for your birthday? She said, I want to be six again. So he planned this big day for her. He took her out and, you know, took her to a theme park, bought her all kinds of junk food, you know, and things like that, and took her on all the rides. And about the time it was done, you know, it's 5 hours later, she's green and not feeling good. And he takes her home and puts her in her bed and says, well, honey, how did it feel to be six again? She said, I meant my dress size. You know, I've learned that as a pastor, that people hear, but they don't hear. You have to make sure they understand and are plain about things. And so, you know, when we talk about, you know, because people will run out and say, Pastor doesn't believe in the sovereignty of God. No, I believe firmly in the sovereignty of God. I believe God in his sovereignty has set things up a certain way. And that's the way he does business, if you want to say it that way. He doesn't make anybody do anything. He doesn't make anybody get saved. He doesn't make anybody receive the blessing. He doesn't make anybody. He could, but he doesn't. He gave us a free will. And we can exercise that free will. And men out there can exercise their free will. People say, why is there evil on the earth? Because there's evil people on the earth. There's evil people on the earth. And as long as men have free will, that'll be there. But there are absolutes, everybody. God's word is final authority on things. And so we have to build our lives on the word. You know, I tell people this, I don't care what kind of spiritual experience you think you've had or what you think the Lord has said to you, you have to check it with the Word and make sure it's in line with God's Word. And I've told the story several times, but it really was a powerful story about a pastor, a minister, that was in the hospital and he was dying. And Brother Hagin went to pray for him and to pray for him for God to heal him. And when he got there, he told Brother Hagin, he said, "It's not God's will to heal me." He said, "Well, how do you know that?" He said, "Well," he said, "I saw," he said, he had a supernatural experience. And he said, "I saw Jesus show up in my room." It was a person that had a robe and sandals on, and he stood by my bed. Now, this is what the guy told Brother Hagin. He said, and he told me, "It's not my will to heal you." Well, I want to just submit this to you. I grew up in the 60s and 70s. Not everybody in the 60s and 70s that wore robes and sandals was Jesus. Let me be real firm about that. Some of them were a long ways from being Jesus. I mean, there were times they thought they were Jesus, but they came back down to earth after the drugs wore off. So he told Brother Hagin that. He said, "So it's not God's will to heal me." So Brother Hagin asked him a question. He said, "Well, let me ask you this." He said, your brother's not saved, right?" "Yeah. We've been praying for him to get saved, right?" "Yes, we have." He said, "What if that same figure had appeared to your brother and told your brother, 'It's not my will to save you?'" He said, "Well, I'd immediately know that wasn't of God, because the Bible..." The Bible says it's His will for all men to be saved. And then he said, "Brother Hagin, lay hands on me and pray for me. I'll be healed." And you know what he was? Amen. I don't know who that was came into his room, but God's Word's final authority. Amen. Not some visitation. Right. Not something we think we hear. Right. Or something we think God told us. It's God's Word is final authority. If it doesn't line up with the Word, we chuck it. Yeah. Yeah. Amen. And you know what? The Lord expects us to do that. Right. Amen. He expects us to put His Word first place. He's honored when we value His Word so much that it's final authority. I don't care what my denomination says, God's Word's final authority. Amen. I've even had to change my own beliefs at times because God's Word overrode it. Right? I say, "Well, I believe that." I used to preach something years ago. You never heard me preach it. But I thought it was the Bible. I thought it was true. And one day I'm studying the Bible and finding out, wait a minute, that ain't in there. How many have ever, don't raise your hand. I want to give you this disclaimer. Do not raise your hand. I don't want to embarrass anybody. But how many have ever read that verse, "God helps those that help themselves"? How many ever read that verse? Didn't you know it's in the book of Mark? The book of Mark Toms. How many know there is no such verse? But did you know there's millions of people believe that's a verse? Millions. You got relatives that believe that's a verse. Why? See? But it's not a verse. You got to go find out what God said for yourself. And this got to be final authority in your life. So you know, if I'm teaching something and I, you know, hopefully we got all the cardinal doctrines down right. You know, Christ was born of a virgin. You know, He was raised from the dead. Hopefully we got those right. If we don't got those right, then we need to quit preaching. But have you know, there's some external stuff we preach on sometimes that maybe the Word will rebuke that, right? And all, you know, let me just give you some things. You know, people will say, "Well, tongues have passed away." Where's the verse? There isn't any verse. Well, it says they shall cease. Well, shall and have's two different things. I shall go eat lunch in a little bit, but I haven't done it yet. And so when Christ appears, when we go to heaven or face to face, all that stuff passes away. We don't need it any longer. It's for here our benefit now on earth. How many we hear verses like, we hear people say, "Healing's passed away with the last of apostles." You ever heard that one? Healing passed away with the last. How many ever heard that one? Healing passed away with the last apostle. All right. Where's that verse at? Well, now, I want to tell you what. Back in 1964, I read the whole book of Psalms. Well, there's other books. You read the whole Bible. I've read the Bible through many times. That verse isn't in there. God's word's final authority on that, not what we made up by our denominational thinking, right? You know, I grew up around a certain group of people, and we had things that just, when you put them in light with the word of God, they just didn't match up. It's like, that doesn't match up. Let God's word be final authority, right? And I want to talk to you about that today, about everything we face in life, let the Bible be final authority on it. You know, sometimes there's, and we'll talk about this in a little bit, sometimes there's true facts, there are facts that are true, but they're not the truth. Amen. Now, look with me, I'll tell you what, we're in Psalm, go to Psalm 107. Remember Jesus said, heaven and earth would pass away, but his word wouldn't? Amen. And we need to get our, we need to get our churches back on the word, right? We need to build our lives on the word, you know? I saw one denomination, they got members of the, I saw this morning. One denomination has got members and clergy and all that are throwing a fit because the head of the head of the denomination decided that all the priests, all the ministers, I don't think it's priests, but all the ministers in their denomination should only have one wife. I'm not making this up. I just read it. Don't look at me like that, like Pastor's just pulling out stories out of his hat now. No, I read it this morning. And I'm thinking, do you not teach your people the Bible? Doesn't the Bible tell us that? God, well, didn't some in the Old Testament have more than one wife? Yeah, but God didn't start that. A guy by the name of Lamech started that. Like I said, when God made Adam a wife, he took a rib, not spare ribs. He didn't take a rack of ribs. He made a rib. Man did this other stuff. And I'm thinking, what? How did we get here where this is even an argument?
Right. Come on
now. I would just stand before those people and say, all our preachers are going to have one woman. Put that in your sipe and poke it. All right, you'll figure that out. I wouldn't have much mercy with that. You can tell that, right? I mean, if you're going to be that dumb, I don't know, you know. Well, I really do blame it on the pastors and leadership. What are you teaching your people if they think that this is okay? God's word is final authority. Look at this, Psalm 107. Boy, we're all over the place. Amen. Psalm 107, look at this, verse 17. The Bible says, fools, because of their transgressions and because of their iniquities are afflicted. So, their soul abhorreth all manner of meat. They draw near to the gates of death. Then they cry unto the Lord in their trouble. Isn't he good? And he saves them out of their distresses. How did he do it? He sent his word and healed them and delivered them from their destructions. So they had all these distresses. Their soul abhorred all manner of food. They wouldn't eat. They were drawing near to the gates of death. But God's word, when he sent it, was final authority over what was going on in their lives. I have a friend in the ministry that years ago, he loved his father-in-law. They were kind of close. And I don't remember what happened to his father-in-law, but his father-in-law was in the hospital and he was dying. And they said if we could just maybe get him to eat, maybe he'd have a chance. But he wouldn't even eat. He just this verse right here, his soul abhorred all manner of food. He wouldn't eat. He was dying. And my friend told me, he said, you know, I went to pray for him, and I was there, of course, you know, staying there around him, you know, while he was going through this. And he said, so I left, and I went down to the chapel to pray. You know, some hospitals have a chapel. And he said, they had a Bible open on the altar, and he said, I looked down, and he said, it said this, their soul abhorreth all manner of food. They draw near unto the gates of death. They cry unto the Lord in their trouble. He saved them out of their distresses. He sent his word and healed them and delivered them from their destructions. He said, that's what that Bible was open to. He said, when I read that, he said, that's my father-in-law. That's exactly where he's at. I'm claiming this verse for him. God sending his word and healed him. And you know what? He was healed. I don't remember if he told me, but I think it was like a short time later, he said, I'm hungry. And began to eat. Why? Because God's word has final authority over everything going on in our world. He's upholding it by the power of His Word. Hallelujah. And so there's some things that come into our life and they seem to be reality. And we're not saying they're not real, but we're just saying there is a higher word. Amen. Remember Jesus when one time a centurion came to Him and said, "My servant is at the point of death. Come and lay your hands on," or no, he said, my servant lies at home sick of the palsy, grievously tormented. And Jesus said, "I will come and heal him." Notice Jesus didn't even hesitate. He didn't say, "Let me ask the Father if it's His will." He said, "I will come and heal him." And the centurion, who's a Roman, he's not a Jewish guy. He's not in covenant with God, but he's got something on the ball. And he says to Jesus, "Don't even bother." He said, "I'm not worthy for you to come under my roof. Just speak the word only, and my servant shall be healed." Amen. What did he know? He knew Jesus' word was final authority. Right. He knew his final authority. And Jesus said about this man, he said, "I've never seen great faith like this. No, not even in Israel." See, great faith comes when we take God's word, final authority. Whatever it said, I don't care what's going on in my life. I don't care what I feel like. I don't care what it looks like. If God said it, that's the way it is. Hallelujah. You're going to get me to preaching here. Amen. Now, John chapter 8, go there. I'm going to look at just a little bit here. John 8. I like this verse. John chapter 8. So let God's word be final authority in your life. What it says, that's what we do. You know, there are times God tells you in His Word to do things that maybe it doesn't look like the best way to go. But how many know it always works out? It always works out. I remember when we talked about tithing a little bit while ago. And, you know, we don't preach on it much, but we make sure you know about it. It's in the Bible, right? And, you know, maybe I'll do a series on it sometime. Mark says I got to do a series on angels next, so we'll see. Praise the Lord. You know, Mark and the Holy Ghost there. But, you know, I told Mark one time, I said, "I'm thinking about angels." He said, "Pastor, I want you to preach on that." So I've really been thinking about doing a series on it. And I'm thinking about a series on tithing. But I just want to say this about tithing. I heard about tithing about a week or two after I was born again. Now, you understand, I wasn't in a position to tithe. I was without a job. And I had $80 to my name. I had 300 and some, which doesn't sound like a lot then, but you got to understand, back in those days, that's quite a bit more. And you could live a while on that if you were frugal. And I had 300 and some, maybe close to $400, got in a poker game and lost all of it except 80 of it. That was before I saved. And then I, just a little bit before I got saved, then I got saved, and so I don't have a job, but I still got $80. But when I found out about tithing, I marched my little $8 to the church. Hallelujah. And put that in the offering. We're going to tithe. And you know what? I'm going to tell you the truth. Ever since then, I've gone up. Amen. I've gone up. And you know, why change now? Why quit now? Just because somebody's on TV saying you don't have to do it any longer. I'm not listening to you. It brought me out of poverty. It brought blessing in my life. It brought good things to my life. I'm not paying any attention to you because I've got Bible on it. If you had some Bible on it, instead of just a theory of what you think the Bible might say, or philosophy is deducing things. Like the guy that wrote the book, "Everybody's Going to Heaven, Regardless of What You Do, How You Live, or What You Believe, We're All Going to Heaven Because God Is Love." That's called philosophizing. Paul said, watch out for philosophy. The philosophies of men. Philosophy is deducing preaching. It means God's love, I deduce, nothing ever bad will happen to you because God's love. Hey, God is love, but He's also a God of justice. Don't forget that part. Amen. Your love, amen, right, as a parent. How many love your kids? Amen. That was weak, but I'll accept it. Praise the Lord. How many know as a parent, it isn't just all good times all the time, is it? There are some correction. Amen. There's some training. You got to train that little wonderful thing not to be so selfish. usually one of their first words. I know men say their first words always, Dad, 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 Dad. But some of them, like one of our grandkids, boy, she learned mine quick. And she could put some emphasis on it. She just didn't say mine. She would go, mine. Well, she grew out of that. But how many of you got to train them, right? You got to train them to work, right? You got to train them to be responsible. God's the same way. He's a loving father. Amen. My dad taught me to work. I remember one time he wanted to build a 32 by 32 garage. And so he said, we're going to dig the footings for that. I knew who we was. Amen. All you had to do is just take the W and invert it, turn it over, and it said me. Me was we. And I remember, you know, that's a pretty good, that's quite a bit of digging because you got to go at least 2 feet deep, you know, in Indiana for the footings. And so I'm digging those. And I reminded Dad before we got started, I said, now, we had a neighbor about a quarter mile down the road, and we were friendly with him. And he had a backhoe. And I told Dad, I said, now, you know, he's got a backhoe. We could go get that and do this in no time. And Dad said, oh, it won't take us long. 3 days later, we were still working on this. Me and Dad. Dad from the window, me from the shovel. Amen. But you know what? Those experiences are good for kids. I'm not talking about abuse, but I'm talking about learning to work, learning to do things. Well, how many think God's the same way? No, nobody's going to admit. God, if we have, the Bible even tells us, if our earthly parents disciplined us, how much more will God? Now, he doesn't discipline us through tragedy and through things that the church has said. If you read it, he uses his word. His word is good for correction, the Bible says, an instruction in righteousness. So I may preach something, just make you mad. As a, you know, you ever knocked a wasp nest down? Yeah, they get mad. May make you that mad. But if it's the Bible, it's just God correcting you. Amen. Amen. So, I usually get stung for it. But anyway, praise the Lord. But it's God's word. Amen. Now, John 8. Are you there? Verse 30. As he spake these words, many believed on him. This is talking about Jesus. And then Jesus said to those Jews which believed on him, if you continue in my word, or you abide in my word, some translations say, then are you my disciples indeed, and you shall know the truth, and the truth will make you free. Now, I wrote about this in the bulletin this morning, but I want to talk about it. How many know there's facts, but then there's truth? Now, we're going to explain that. See, facts don't make you free. Truth makes you free. In other words, there's facts in life. They're facts. You can't deny it. Like if you get a bad report, you can't deny it necessarily, but you have God's word is truth. It's final authority. Amen. See, I was having a checkup and I told you about this. So you know, I don't hide things. I don't want you to think that pastor floats through life and he never has to fight any healing battles or anything. You know, I do. Maybe not as much as maybe some people have to, but I still do. You know, some people have more challenges in other areas than others. But, you know, the doctor said, and it wasn't like this terrible, terrible thing, but he just told me, he said, what you have is incurable. You can't cure it. Well, how many know that's a fact? But how many know the word says something different? Jesus went about healing all manner of sickness and all manner of diseases. I am the Lord that heals you. These are all scriptures, people. Jesus went about healing everyone oppressed of the devil. By his stripes, we are healed. So what I didn't say, now, doctor, that's not true. I didn't argue with the doctor. That's a fact. But here, I got some truth over here. I'm going to let God's word be final authority. Amen. And so we don't, we see, how many are following what I'm saying? We don't deny. I appreciate what the doctor trying to help me. And he came to the conclusion, I can't fix that. That's unfixable. Medical world can't fix that. You just live with it. I was glad I had the knowledge of the truth. Yes. Hallelujah. And I began to apply the truth. I do it every day. I apply the truth to my life. And I've seen what he said was incurable start getting better. Amen. All right? Why? Because God's word is truth. Amen. See, I said this Sunday, or no, it was Wednesday night. I said this, but I'm going to repeat it because some of you weren't here. But I heard a preacher say one time, he said, we need to butt the facts with the truth instead of the truth with the facts. In other words, we know what the word says, then we get a bad response. Yeah, I know the word says that, but I got this going on. Right? What we need to do is, I know I got that bad report, but the truth, the word says. See, how many are following what I just said? There's a big difference there, isn't there? See, like I said Wednesday night, you need to get your butt in the right place. Put your butt against the facts. Yeah, that may be a fact, but the truth is, God said. Amen. Anybody ever wake up feeling depressed? You don't have to raise your hand. Here's the truth. The joy of the Lord's our strength. Hallelujah. So somebody, they're here this morning, I won't name them, but I appreciate what they said. They were dealing with some things like that, and they said, Pastor, I put on the garment of praise. Well, that's the right garment to put on. Amen. How many of you got to dress appropriately for things? You know, if you get invited to the White House, I would not advise you to go in there in your shorts and your khaki shirt to the Oval Office. I doubt very much you're going to get in. He said, well, I swear what I want to. That's why you've never been to the Oval Office. Well, Pastor, you haven't ever either. I know, I've never been invited. But if I were invited, I'd put a suit on. I'd dress up, comb my hair. You understand? You got to have on the right garment. How many know, if you're going to run, I know you can't tell it, but I used to be a runner, distance runner. And when I was in my 50s, I was doing distance running. Somehow, when I quit, I got into distance eating and put on 30 pounds. I'm working on that. Praise the Lord. But anyway, how many know when you go to run, you don't go there with work boots on, overalls, coveralls. You know what I'm saying? You go with tennis shoes on, tank top, shorts. You're ready to run, right? And if you're going to have joy, you got to put the right garment on. God said, "I'll give you the garment of praise for the spirit of heaviness." So just start praising God. You know, you may be dealing with that. We're not saying you're not dealing with that, but we're just saying that's a fact. Apply some truth to that fact. Apply some truth to that fact. Amen. Remember, Jesus talked about, whoever says to this mountain. Remember that? Now, a lot of people say, well, that's just those faith preachers. Well, no, that was Jesus that said it. Jesus said, verily I say unto you, that whosoever shall say unto this mountain, be thou removed, be thou cast in the sea, shall not doubt in his heart, but shall believe those things which he says shall come to pass. He'll have whatever he says. That was Jesus. Amen. Nobody's going to talk me out of that. I don't care what you say. I've heard people call it heresy. I wouldn't call Jesus' words heresy if I was you. At least if you do, don't stand real close to me. But see, the key to it is Jesus said the first, before he said do that, he said have faith in God. In other words, have faith that God will work and back you when you take your authority. How many, it may be true you have a mountain. I mean, excuse me. It may be a fact you have a mountain. But what's the truth about it? The truth is I have authority over it by faith in God. That's the truth. Amen. Is this getting through to you this morning? See, you gotta look at life right. If you don't, life will run over you. Amen. And you'll end up, people end up, like Christians end up believing like the world because they don't make God's word final authority. One last scripture. Did you get anything this morning?
Yes.
Matthew 14. I love this story of Peter walking on the water. There's so many things in here. It's so good, you know. It's like, at least Peter had the guts to get out. You know what I'm saying? And then what, you know, and then you read in there and beginning to sink. It's like, I've never stepped off the edge of a pool and began to sink. I never said, hey, I'm beginning to sink, everybody. But, you know, that power that he was on held him up for a while, but it started dissipating, see. Let's go here. We won't read the whole thing. How many, you know the background. Jesus came to them. They're out there rolling on the, you know, on the water, and it's not going well. There's a storm, and Jesus comes out walking on the water to go to them, and they see him and think it's a ghost. And he said, hey, it's not a ghost. It's just me. And Peter said to them in verse 28, Peter answered him and said, Lord, if it's you, bid me come to you on the water. Now, here is an interesting thing. The word where Peter, this is the King James where it says, bid me come to you on the water. The word bid means order or command me to do this. Command me. In other words, Peter said, I need some final authority here. Before I get out of this boat, I need some final authority that I'm not going to sink. And he knew if Jesus commanded it, that was all he needed. Like when Jesus said, let us go to the other side, another place they were in a storm. That's all they needed. Jesus' word is final authority. It still is. Yeah. And Jesus said to his disciples, let us go to the other side. He didn't say, let us go out in the middle and sink. No, let us go to the other side. So that's all they needed. So he goes and he falls asleep. Jesus is asleep during this storm. The boat's filling with water. He's still sleeping through it. Why? Because he knows his word is the word of the Father and it's final authority. Doesn't matter what it looks like or what the facts say. The truth is, we're going to the other side. You know, they woke him up and then he did what he had to do there. But he expected them to have faith. Now, here we are. Peter's not getting out of this boat without some concrete final authority. When Jesus said to him in verse 29, come. One word, powerful. And when Peter was come down on the ship, he walked on the water to go to Jesus. But notice this, when he saw the wind boisterous, he was afraid and beginning to sink, he cried saying, Lord, save me. And I want to stop there for a minute. I want to ask you this, what did the big waves have to do with him walking on the water? That's like saying, if it's calm out, I can pull this off. How do you know if you're going to do it calm or stormy, it's going to take God's power? See, Peter got suckered there, didn't he? Why? He did like we've done, all of us have done. He quit. Remember, the Bible says we walk by faith and not by sight. Peter, when he saw, he started walking by sight. In other words, he quit walking on the word come. Amen. And he quit letting Jesus' word be final authority, and he began to sink. And immediately, notice verse 31, Jesus stretched forth his hand, caught him, said to him, O thou of little faith, why did you doubt? Why did you doubt? What happened? Well, look, Peter went out there based on what Jesus said, his command. Peter applied that truth to facts. How many know, without God's power, you can't walk on the water.
Right.
But if he says to, you can do it. Right. But when he got out there and he saw the circumstances, he started applying, amen, he changed that. He had applied the truth to facts, but when he saw that wind, he started applying the facts to the truth. How many of the facts don't change the truth at all? The facts don't change the truth. You got to apply. See, he started out right. Jesus gave him a word. Come. He applies the truth to the fact. Facts are, can't walk on the water. Truth is, Jesus said I could.
Right.
He sees the wind boisterous. Don't care what Jesus said. You can't walk on the water when it's this bad. Boom. Down he goes. Those facts didn't change the truth, but it changed his ability to walk in the truth. Truth was still the truth. Amen? And that's the way we have to approach life. We have to realize that, yeah, we're going to get some boisterous winds at times. We're going to have some things that are challenging. We're going to get some bad reports sometimes. Everybody does. But it's at those times, thank God, we have truth. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. You know, a minister said one time, he said, I had this lady, she was in his church, and she got a really terrible bad report from the doctors it was about her husband. Her husband had an accident, and the pastor's out there where the man, he was at work, and he had an accident, and he was laying there, and he'd just been laying there on the ground for like 45 minutes because the doctor said, we just can't move him. If we move him, we're liable to kill him. And so the doctor went to this pastor, and he told pastor, he said, you need to prepare his, because his wife had come out there too, and he had fallen. And the doctor pulled the pastor aside. He said, you need to prepare his wife because he's not going to live. So he said, you need to pull her aside and get her ready. So the pastor pulls her aside, and she says to the pastor, she said, doctor doesn't think my husband's going to live, does he? He said, well, no, ma'am, he doesn't. She says, isn't it good we have inside information? He saw when she said that, he's like, well, I'm not going to prepare her for him to die. She's believing he's going to live. He said, yes, it is. And he lived. He did go to the hospital. He was in the hospital a little while. The doctors, if I remember right, even declared his recovery was miraculous. His recovery was miraculous. The word has final authority. One lady said this. This is, and the pastor, he's a pastor in Michigan. Well, he's retired now. He retired and moved to Florida. I don't know why you want to leave Michigan in the wintertime to go to Florida, but, you know, he's living in Florida now. But anyway, you know, he had preached on the scripture, and it's in Psalm 118, I will not die, but I will live and declare the works of the Lord. How many remember that, Psalm 118? So, you know, he preached on that scripture. Well, one of his people had a surgery scheduled. It was like a minor surgery kind of thing. It wasn't really like a real major thing. I don't remember what it was, but anyway, something went wrong. And she's dying. They code her. She said, I could hear, she said, I just faintly heard the doctor say to the nurses, we're losing her. We're losing her. And she was dying. And she said, when I heard the doctor say, we're losing her, she's dying. She said, I heard my pastor's voice. And he was quoting the scripture, Psalm, this is real important. You never know, one word can save your life. He was quoting Psalm 118, I will not die but live and declare the works of the Lord. She said, when I heard that, she said, yes, that's for me. She said, as soon as that happened, I heard the doctor say, she's coming back. Amen. God's word has authority. Amen. Hallelujah. But here's the catch. You have to allow it to have authority in your life. It's settled in heaven. Is it settled in your life? You got to settle it in your life. This is what God said. I'm settled with that. I may face circumstances that tell me opposite. I may go to hell and back, but I'm coming back because the word said. Amen. Amen. Hallelujah. Well, I hope you got something out of that. Let God's word be final authority in your life. Don't let the devil have final say-so or life or the world or anybody else or even your own self. Let God's word have final authority in your life. Amen.
That concludes today's message. For more information about Oasis Church, please visit myoasischurch.com. Thanks for listening.